So 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 24. Paul says in Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Jesus Christ is a power of God unto salvation unto all them that believe. And you know, I would never want my kids to think that they, you know, they have a wonderful home, a wonderful mother, and their father's okay, you know. But I would never want them to think that they enjoy the things that they do because dad's a great guy, because mom's great. But I want them to know that dad could never be who he's supposed to be apart from the Word of God. And that mom's a good mom, not because of anything in her, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And talking about reaching foreign countries, yeah, they do need food, they do need water. But the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And you look at the poverty-stricken nations, you'll see that they have sin epidemics. And they really do need the Word of God. And so we're thankful for our missionary here this morning. We're going to talk about running the race. And we're in a series of parables of our Lord. But obviously, if you know, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we departed from that a little bit. This is a parable of Paul about running the race of faith. And there are three sporting events that Paul liked personally. One was fighting, boxing. One was wrestling. And another one was running. He also did like to use the soldier metaphor, and maybe we'll do that later on. We're going to talk about running this morning and your Christian life as a marathon, as a race. 1 Corinthians 9:24, and know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth a prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And let's pray. Father, thank you for just what we've heard this morning. Thank you for just the challenge to our hearts and our lives. Thank you for just this young lady who's just surrendered her life to you, to just work getting people's hands a copy of the Word of God. How precious. We thank you for that. Lord, now I pray that you bless your Word, the preaching of it this morning. I pray they'd find a place in our heart and in our life. Lord, I pray that this morning we could picture ourselves in this metaphor, that we could picture ourselves with our spiritual sneakers on, our running gear, and headed towards heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul says there, verse number 24, talking about the races, he says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth a prize. And obviously you'd enter a race, you'd go to the Olympic events, you'd go to the games of Apostle Paul's time to beat other people, to win the prize, to win the notoriety, to have that medal that says first place, to have that prize that says you are number one, that you are at the top of your game, to have that hanging around your neck. And obviously, any sporting events, probably most of us here this morning do not have the athletic capability to enter into the Olympic Games. We could probably practice just as hard as those Olympics runners do. We could have the same diet. We could have the same coaches. We could have the same program. But genetics itself would inhibit us from playing in the games. I remember back when I was in ninth grade, and I was the same height that I am this morning. And I loved basketball. I shot thousands of hoops out in front of our home. And after basketball practice, I come home and shoot hoops. Some of you know what that's like to be obsessed with a game. And I hold a basketball. I've really played in years. But if I hold a basketball and dribble a little bit, it's just like that, just kind of that feeling. I mean, that vibe comes back to me. I love the game of basketball. Ninth grade, I could grab the rim. And I thought, certainly, man, I'm going to be 6'2". At least, and I'll be able to dunk, boom, you know, and I'll just be an awesome athlete. Well, You know, my genetics played a trick on me. The only thing that happened since ninth grade was that I lost my hair, okay? That's why I did not grow any further, and I could not jump any higher. I might have been a little bit of better of a ball player, but you know what? The NBA was not for me. I think, you know, I hate to make excuses, but genetics would inhibit me to make the NBA. Did you know that God has endowed you, believer, this morning with certain talents? There's some people that have more talents, that have more abilities than you do. Some people can sing. Some people are super extroverts and they're people, and they can just talk to somebody about the Lord just with very little effort. And there's some people that have just a profound mental capacity. There's this Greek and the Hebrew people, and I appreciate somebody like that. And I know for certain, I'm smart enough to realize this, is that I cannot do that. Okay, sometimes you gotta realize, you know, you watch the talent show. Well, there's a lot of bloopers on there. People who, I guess they don't have any family members that love them, to let them go ahead and stand in front of the judges, and then the judges tell them, hey, after they get done laughing, singing ain't for you. You don't know. I'm going to be a star and prove you all wrong, right? You know, we're given certain and allotted certain talents in this life, and there's one thing that the Bible tells us is that we are not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Do you know, as I run the Christian race, I am not in competition with you, that I have my own race, and I have my own talents, and I have my own abilities to give an account for. There's not going to be one person that God's going to compare me to when I get to heaven. He's not going to call some guy that's 5'10 and a half and balding and a preacher somewhere and say, see, here's your exact replica, and here's what he did, and here's how little you did. But no, there's only going to be one person that I'm going to be compared to, and that is going to be to myself. Paul says this. He says, they run. They all run, but only one receives a prize. But then he says there, so run that ye may obtain. Do you know that each and every one of you have a prize that is set before you? Your prize, and it's for you to win it when you get to heaven. Your prize is every bit as important as my prize. It's that custom prize for you. The Bible talks about the Bema Seat of Christ. And I remember back in high school being at the award banquets and receiving letters and, you know, and different accommodations and different prizes at that particular time. And that was a reward for, you know, our specific hard work. And we put that trophy up on our wall and we put that letter. I never got a letter jacket. I was just too cool. You know, I wanted a leather jacket. I didn't want no letter jacket. But I did have the letter, and it's somewhere. Bulldogs. It's a big bulldog right there. And we would receive that, and you would wear that on your letter jacket. And see, I am a lettered player. You know what that was for? That was for our own personal glory, our own personal stardom, our own personal fame. And of course, what do you do as you dribble, as you shoot the ball, as you compete? You're seeing your name in the newspaper, right? You're seeing out of the whole crowd cheering, Jack, Jack, and making the game-winning shot and getting the glory for yourself. Well, let me tell you something this morning, that you and I as believers, that we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do nothing for our salvation, that it is the gift of God, and that you cannot do something for heaven to get there yourself. However, the Lord has set before you works that you can work. I'm a pastor this morning, not so I can go to heaven. I'm a pastor this morning because I am saved and I am going to heaven someday. And everything that I do it as an heir to heaven and as a son of God. And I do it to, the Bible says, all things are to please Him. Let me tell you something. When you look the Lord Jesus Christ in the face, someday the one who died for your sins on the cross, that paid the price for your pardon, knew you on that cross, knew every sin that you would commit, that took every ugly crime that you ever committed, both mentally and physically, and placed it upon Himself, and you see the great love wherewith He loved you, and you see the one who loves you more than anybody ever could. You see your Savior face to face. You are going to want to do something for Him. But you know, if you show up there in heaven, it's going to be too late. You know, you have an opportunity now on this earth to do something for God. And the Bible talks very much about crowns and crowns. Back in Paul's day, here's what Adam Clark, the commentator, says about crowns. He said, the crown won by the victor in an Olympic Games back in Paul's day was made, the crown was made of a wild olive. In the Pythian Games of laurel, and in the Nemean Games of parsley, and in the Isthmian Games of the pine. These were all corruptible, for they began to wither soon as they were separated from the trees or plucked out of the earth. They were separated right then and they started to die. They started to fade as soon as you won those crowns. And of course, let me ask you something. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Patriots. Who won the year before that? Patriots. Who won the year Patriots? but you know, I tell you, probably 2 years from now, when I ask you the same question, you say, I have no idea, unless you're a diehard fan. Do you know that glory fades very quickly? But you know, when you work for the Lord, this is an eternal reward. And you know what the Bible tells us? At the award ceremony, the Bema Seat of Christ, this is where all the saints are gathered. All our works will be tried by fire to see what sort they are of. The sermon I preached this morning will be tested, and the Lord will know whether I preached it so I could sound good or preached it for His glory. And it's going to be tested, and it's going to be tried. And those gold, silver, and precious stones will be awarded to me at that day. And now there's something special about this ceremony, because what we're going to do with our crowns, as we sang this morning, crown Him with many crowns, you know what we're going to be able to do? We're going to be able to worship the Lord with our works. I'm going to be able to give something back to my Savior, something that He has given to me. And let me tell you something, you can't give God anything that He hasn't given to you. All things are from Him. And the only thing we can do in this life is give back to Him what He has given to us. He's given you your life. You have the opportunity to give it back. And someday He's going to give you those crowns if you win for them, and you'll have an opportunity to give it back. And so Paul says this also. He says that only one receives a prize, but you run that you may obtain. Verse number 25, and it says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Now this word strive comes, again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know how to look these things up. It comes from a word that we get, the word agonize. Then the Bible says that, you know, Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, strive to enter into the straight gate. You know, striving, let me tell you something this morning, that every time I go out for a run, I decide to take a walk. I don't know about you. I'm not in the Army. I don't have no PT test. Man, I go, you know what, I think I'll go out for a jog this morning. And I jog about 100 yards and say, you know what, I'm going to go for a walk this morning. You know why? Because running is striving. Running is agonizing. Running is discipline of self. Do you know that this life, if we're going to live for the Lord, that there is going to be some obstacles involved? You know, the Bible says that you are going to suffer for righteousness' sake. It doesn't say maybe, it doesn't say if, it doesn't say perhaps. Now, we know we have brethren all around the world this morning that are suffering and are running and are being beheaded for their faith. They endure a suffering that you and I, Lord willing, will never endure in this country. And praise the Lord, you know, for Memorial Day tomorrow and all those that paid the ultimate sacrifice to give us the freedom that we enjoy, that we are not oppressed by a government or foreign governments this morning, that we can worship the Lord freely. And so, praise God, we're not suffering physically this morning, but you know, there is a mental anguish involved in serving the Lord. Did you know that you're going to be persecuted mentally? You're going to be persecuted emotionally, that the world is going to resist your efforts and is going to laugh at your sacrifices that you give for the Lord, and you are going to be in the minority. Read your Bible. There's always, the people of God are always, even if they were in ancient Israel, the righteous people were a remnant. They were a small minority. And it says a runner is temperate in all things. You know what a runner has to do? He has to eat things he don't like. Hey, you want to go to Dano's Buffet this afternoon? Eat pizza till your heart's content? No, I can't. Training. Why? Training for a race. You don't like pizza? Yeah, I love pizza, but I can't eat pizza right now because I'm training for a race. You want to go to Chinese buffet then? I can't do that. I'd love to join you, but I can't because I'm training for a race. It says a runner is temperate in all things. You know, to live the Christian life, there's a lot of good things that you're going to have to put off in your life to obtain your crown. There's a lot of things that you're going to have to say no to in life, things that are not necessarily bad, things that are not necessarily evil, but you're going to have to put those aside that you can obtain the best thing. And one of the best things you ever learn in the Christian life is saying no to all the peripheral things so that you can obtain the goal of Jesus Christ. There's certain diets that your flesh is not going to want to have. There's nothing in your flesh. In your spirit, if you're saved, yes. There's nothing in your flesh this morning says, I want to go and sit and listen to a sermon. You know what? Your spirit says yes, but your flesh says no. It says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, there's nothing in your flesh that wants to get up tomorrow morning. Of course, tomorrow you give off. But, you know, on a typical Monday morning, in your flesh wants to get up early and take some time and seek God's face and read the Bible and pray and seek His direction for the day. But a Christian must be temperate. You know, there's certain things you set aside. You say, hey, if I am going to lead souls to Christ, if I'm going to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to have to say no to certain things in my life that I can set aside time to reach out and reach others and be involved in an outreach program at my church. I'm going to have to set aside things so that I may obtain, that I might obtain the prize. A runner's temperate in all things. He said a runner strives. A runner strives. You know, the Apostle Paul, who writing this, there's certain things that Paul suffered. One tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:24. Here's some things that he suffered. He says that he was scourged with whips. He says 5 times he was beaten. He says with rods 3 times. He says he was stoned to death in Lystra. Shipwrecked, snake bite, perils in the wilderness, perils among brethren. He says in weariness and watchfulness and fastings and cold, all of these things. Paul says that he suffered. He knew what it was like to have those drop out of the race around him. We're going to talk about the cloud of witnesses here in a minute. We'll turn to Hebrews. However, nothing is more refreshing. Nothing is better than running alongside of somebody. Let me tell you something. You can run a whole lot better when you have someone running along right by your side. Nothing is no more refreshing than being with fellow Christians. The Bible, that's why the Bible says, as much as you see the day approaching, as end times, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, I'm tired of people saying, well, it's the last days. I told somebody, first, talking about something, he said, well, do you think that's because it's the last days? Let me tell you something. It's been the last days for 2,000 years. And you know, if you're watching a race, guess what they do in the last lap? They slow down, right? Take it easy. They pace themselves. You know what they do? They're more vigorous. Man, they run harder, they push harder, they drive faster in that last lap than they ever did before. Let me tell you something, if the time of Christ is at hand and people's hearts are hardened out there and that the world is trying to drag us down, man, we need to be around other runners. We need to be around other believers. You know what Paul had experienced as he ran with other believers? He says, and Demas, his running partner. Man, my preacher boy, the one that encouraged me, let me tell you something, that I know this, is, and you know, you've been saved for a while, you know this, there's someone else who is newly planted, man, someone else is just newly saved, and newly plugged in, and they start getting on fire for the Lord, they're more a blessing to you than you can ever be to them. Man, that's exciting. That's energetic, man. You got some young little preacher boy next to you, and he's wanting to know how to run and how to push and how to drive. Then all of a sudden, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He knew what it was like to be forsaken and to be left away and to gone by the wayside. And it's amazing to me, in the Christian life, the people, a lot of times you invest the most time in, those are the ones who say, hey, you know what, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm out of the race. You know what he says about his brethren there in Asia in the pastoral epistles? He says, all those in Asia have forsaken me. He said, all those have left me. Sometimes you got to run by yourself. Let me tell you something, is that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, disciple implies discipline. How many ever had a good coach? Man played soccer in New York. Okay? Who are not from the States, that is football, okay? So he's soccer in New York, and then in my 11th grade year, we moved down to Oklahoma City, and they had football down there in the fall. And so they said, oh, football practice 2 days, that's really, really rough. And I thought, no, we ran a lot during soccer, that can't be that bad. And so they said, well, how's football practice now? That's what they asked me when I was puking into a bucket. Okay? And why would you let a coach make you run until you puked into a bucket? Why would you do that? You know what a coach makes you do? He makes you do what you don't want to do so you can have what you want to have. You know what I want? I want a prize. And you know, if you're in the school of Christ, you're in the school of His disciplining. You're in the school of His coaching. And you know that the Lord is going to put different weights in your life. It's one thing, hey, if you want to get stronger, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to stack the weights. You know, there's different seasons. There's different running seasons. Your life, there's, you know, it talks about in Psalms chapter number 1, about the man, it says that he will bear fruit in his season. Okay? You know what, there's some seasons in your life that feel like dry spells. There's some seasons in your life, man, it's like running in the heat. Do you know that, like, I think it's for every 10 degrees above 60 degrees outside that you lose, like, about 30 seconds a mile or something like this. You know, you have to run in the heat sometimes. Sometimes you have to run in the cold. Sometimes you got to run uphill. Sometimes, hey, you get to run downhill. You know, that's another thing, is that if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not doing well. You know, if I'm running downhill in my life currently and someone else is running uphill, I shouldn't say, hey, look at how much faster I'm running than you. You know what someone else is going through? Only one thing that I can do for somebody else is say, hey, come on, let's run together. Let's run together. There's different seasons of testing. Man, we have my wife's home with Teddy, praise the Lord. Then I'm not home with him right now because he is throwing up and other stuff, you know. And a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a one-year-old. Do you know this is a certain season of our life right now? You know, there's temptations and struggles in this season of life that we won't have to deal with later on. But you know, I've known a lot of parents that have a real hard time when their kids become teenagers. See, man, that is tough. And I'm thankful, and we'll talk about this in our anxiety course, you know. A lot of people don't have kids because they're afraid to have teenagers. Okay, you don't have to worry, they're not teenagers immediately, okay? They're teenagers after about, you know, 13 years or so, okay? But anyway, once they get teenagers, man, that's going to be a whole nother battle. Hey, and then the kids are going to move out. I've known a lot of people once the kids move out, and here's what you think. Boy, you know, we're busy right now. We can't really serve the Lord right now because we're busy with all these young kids. And as soon as the kids move out, guess what? Hey, well, this is why we work so hard. Let's just sit, enjoy life and sit back, enjoy it in its ease. And then we get, so there's every stage of life, there is a temptation. Every stage of life, there is a struggle. There's struggle at times when you're healthy. You know what? A lot of times we backslide the worst when we're very healthy. And then God throws something our way. Paul knew what it was like to endure physical hardness, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And, you know, scholars speculate to what that was. You know, he writes to the Galatian church and said that you would have given to me your own eyes. You see how large of a letter that I've written to you. Maybe he had some sort of eye disease. And, you know, that's what they're guessing there. But he went through seasons of physical temptation. And so running is striving. Running is agony. I had an ant right there in my notes. There's different seasons of striving. Last thing I want you to know, Lexicon 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I know the direction and the purpose that I'm running in, the direction that I'm running towards. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, there's one battle in life, and that is the battle of your flesh versus your spirit. You know, you ask any runner, and they're going to tell you, the whole battle, the whole run is in one place, and it is in your mind. There's a runner, the famous Olympic runner named Jeff Galloway, and he's run over 150 marathons, and he trains others to run marathons. And he said his first marathon, I think he was age 16. When he was 16, there was a marathon. He says there was a big trophy that was going to be given away, and he said he never had a trophy yet, so he wanted to try to get that trophy. He said the most he ever ran before was 15 miles, and he said there was this guy that showed up. He said he looked like he's about 30 years old, looked like he is like some sort of professional runner. And he thought, certainly this guy's going to win, but I'll run 15 miles anyway, because I'm here anyway, I'll run 15 miles. And he said that sure enough, that 30-year-old guy, he took off running, and before long, he is out of sight. So Jeff, he said he did his laps, he said he ran 15 miles. On his 15th mile, he ran and told the judge, he says, hey, I'm done. He says, why are you done? You're in the lead. He said, what happened to the other guy? He said, he dropped out. And he said, so I ran, of course, you know, a marathon is 26.1 miles. I one time did that on my bike. So if you know. So 26.1 miles. And so he ran another 11 miles. And he said, of course, he hit the wall. But he pushed himself through. And he finally got to the end. And he finally got that prize. And you know what he determined? He determined that the sacrifice is worth it. You know, someday we'll look back and say, hey, that sacrifice, that endeavor, all that pain, all that agony, all that struggle, all that toil, living a temperate life and just doing what is to be done and doing my Christian duties and just dotting every I and crossing every T and just running that race with patience, that was all worth it. He says, I keep my body under subjection. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we're almost done. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to look at, if you're there, if your eyes are there, Hebrews 11:40, okay? And then we're going to read 12:1. Hebrews 11:40, this is a verse before chapter 12. It says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, here's what that's talking about. Hebrews chapter number 11 is the chapter of faith. And a few things that are mentioned there, as it'll say that David, for instance, he says he served his generation. says he served his generation. It says in, you know, in different parts of the Bible, Paul's preaching in Acts chapter number 13. It talks about, and so-and-so served his course. How many ever heard the expression, let this run its course? You know, we use this running expression in today's society that you have just that one course, that one generation to run. And here's what you do after you've served your generation is that you hand the baton off to somebody else. And where it says there, they, meaning all those names mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11, it starts back with, you know, with Abel and Enoch and all the pre-flood saints and the saints after the flood, and then it goes through all the saints after Moses, and it talks about some of the prophets, and then it talks about the New Testament saints of whom this world was not worthy, and then it says, and they, without us, you and me this morning, you and me, that means the Apostle Paul without me, that means that Moses without me, you name the saint, without me should not be made perfect. There's a reason why, is because David did not serve this generation, Moses did not serve this generation, Paul did not serve this generation, and all the great preachers that died out here in the last century, they did not serve this generation. Guess who serves this generation? You and I do. This the cornerstone for this church building was laid in 1903. You know how many surviving members we have from 1903? None. You know what they did? They sat in the pew where you were sitting, and they served their generation, and they handed the baton onto you. Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He says, here is a record of all the great saints of old who have run their race. You know, I'm so thankful for the record of Scripture this morning. I'm so thankful as we look into the biographies found in the Bible of the Old Testament and the New Testament saints, I'm thankful that they aren't perfect. You know, they fell and they got back up and they ran and they messed up this way and they ran and they had this discouragement over here and they ran. But the whole thing was is they testified to you and I that there was running involved. I'm thankful for good biographies, good Christian biographies. Read about the great saints of old. You know, think of missionary translators. Boy, there has been some great ones from our country. Yeah, Adoniram Judson translated the Bible into Burmese. You have Hudson Taylor, who took 7 years, I think it was, for him to translate the scriptures over there in China. And all these great men before me. And then, you know, I have a cloud of witnesses today, other saints and other men and women of God who run the race. I've got a friend who is a missionary to the Philippines, Dave Ferris. He was here it's a year and a half ago. And Dave, when I knew him when I was in high school, and he was in college, and Dave Ferris was 350 plus pounds. Big guy. And of course, he drove a Geo Metro. That's one thing about human psychology I have never figured out. Big people like drive small vehicles, and small people like drive big vehicles. I've never figured that out. Maybe you could explain that to me later. So he had a Geo Metro, and I remember Dave, you know, getting that thing, and that thing would just be sagging on one side. This morning, as I speak, Dave Ferris weighs 170 pounds and runs marathons. You know what I think? I'm not quite inclined, but you know what? If I ever thought, I think I'll run a marathon. You know who I'm going to talk to? I think, you know what? If Dave can do it, guess what? I can do it. You know why God takes such sinners, drunkards, harlots, people who are living ungodly, wicked lives, and takes them and places them in the race, and man, they run full bore for the Lord so they can encourage people like you and like I, say, hey, praise the Lord, if they can serve God, if they can sacrifice for God, if they can live for God with their background, with their experience, with what they have endured, I can run too. We have a great cloud of witnesses, and this is what this verse says. It says, lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily besets us, and let us run. Remember, I was at a church planters conference down in Syracuse, and it's killing time in between meetings. And it was with Ryan Kubik, and we were walking through the shopping mall down there, and we walked into a GNC. The guy behind the counter, I mean, he kind of looked like me. Just kidding. He's just a strapping guy, huge guy. And I said, "You got anything here? I'd like to take something that I have just big cut lean muscles." And I said, I don't want to work out and I don't want to eat right. And of course he laughed, same as you. He laughed because you know what? It ain't happening. Okay, it's not happening. You want to be a good Christian? Guess what? There's no pill I can give you. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to have to put off some things, you're going to have to put on some things, and you're going to have to run. And lastly, it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One thing about running is that you always run with your head up. You always look ahead of you. You know what you and I are supposed to do as Christians, that we look unto heaven. And you know what? We even look past heaven and we look to one person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what helps me run the race is I look unto Him. I let the then invade the now. Great men and women of God who have run the race is because of one reason, is because this. They put off, they put on, and they've looked ahead to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great reformer John Knox many times had people throw things at him. Mary, Queen of Scots, of course, wanted to have him killed. And it was said of John Knox, and you read his biography, you read about him, how he transformed Scotland there and just made such a profound difference for Christ, for his nation, and for just for the work of God for generations. We still benefit from some of the things that he did. It says that he feared the face of Jesus Christ so much that he feared no other man. You know, let us look unto Jesus. Let us please him. Let us run towards him. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Lord, we thank you for so great a race that is set before us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray that you'd help us, those that are in the race, that know you as Savior, that we would determine this morning that we're going to run, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price. Lord, help us determine to put things off, that we would just run towards you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray for those here this morning, perhaps they don't know you personally as Savior, and they need to just get in the race. They need to receive Christ. I pray you bless them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. As the pianist plays, the heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. It's by testimony of an uplifted hand. You say, "I know for sure if I had to die, I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved." Just slip your hand up if that's you this morning. God bless you. You say, "I'm here and I'm not 100% for sure that I'm saved, that I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." That's my prayer this morning. If you like that, would you slip up your hand? All right. Altar's open. However God spoke to your heart, you can speak to Him. You come.